It's time now for the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club. Welcome to the Wednesday Morning Coffee Club with Bill and Jenny Sparks, Dave and Chris Rieckert, Tim Ani, and the crew. Bill will be taking your phone calls, and you will hear lots of conversation. We will have cooking tips, demonstrations of products, and much, much more.
And you may reach us by calling 1-646-558-8656. You will need the meeting ID 848-725-450. And when you're asked for a user ID, just press pound. You may download Zoom from the Play Store or the App Store.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Bill Sparks.
Well, a very good Wednesday morning to you. And I hope everyone is doing well. And we are here with another coffee club. We have not one, but two demos for you today. And we'll have news from the Apple event yesterday. So if you want to hear about the latest and the greatest iPad, we'll be talking about that. And we're going to be talking about cord cutting or changing the way you watch TV. So we'll be doing a little bit of that today. Good morning, Jenny, downstairs.
Good morning.
You doing well today?
Very well. And I think maybe our guest, maybe our house guest might be on the line with us.
She's not. Oh, okay. Well, she may be at some point in time here today. Let's swing it up to Albany, New York, and Jeff.
Very, very good morning to you, Bill, and everybody else here on the Coffee Club group here. And we've got a new caller later on that you can get to. It's Scott Edwards is here as well. Doing well. I'm not complaining because we're going to get temperatures up to possibly 60 degrees today and maybe 70 tomorrow. And if we're going to get that kind of weather, I'm sure that Dave up in Altoona, Pennsylvania, is going to have the same kind of weather as well.
What's going on, Dave and Chris?
Well,
we're going to get to 70.
70 today.
Keep pushing that air south towards us, northeast, Chris. Keep doing that for us, please.
I'm sure we can do that. We've also got Sean on the line. Sean?
Hello, everybody. Happy Halloween. Happy trick-or-treat. Hope everybody's got your candy ready. And if not, turn your porch light off.
There you go. Let's see. We have Michael Loft.
Good morning, everyone. We got a little bit of news, a few things to talk about that have happened in the last day or two, but doing well here. It's also very warm and humid and getting ready to rain, but it's all good.
Let's bring in, before you get to your news, let's bring in Scott Edwards. Do you want to say something to us, Scott?
Let me see if I can unmute him. It won't.
Maybe he doesn't.
No. He keeps telling me he's muted, even though I'm trying to unmute him.
I'm trying to unmute.
There you go, Scott. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm unmuted now.
Yes. Just talk a little bit further away from your microphone because it's very, very loud, but try it now.
All right.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Yeah. I finally decided to call in. I'm having breakfast. It's after 6 here.
It's early. Arizona. We know who you are.
Yeah, Scott from Arizona, yeah. Some people know me from various circles in the conference calling community.
Well, glad that you could join us.
Yeah, I decided to finally join y'all. I listen to y'all over on the conversation station, mostly.
Next week when you call in, it'll only be after 7 because y'all don't switch.
Oh, yeah. Too. Yeah, that's right. Everything happens an hour later starting next week, yeah.
Well, we get to actually hear what your voice really kind of sounds like because it sounds a lot different than when you're on a regular phone line. So we get to know what your voice really sounds like, Scott. And I never knew what your last name was, so now
there
we do.
Go.
Well, welcome. As Bill would say, welcome to be here. You're glad to stay here as long as you'd like to.
Okay, we're going to bring on Michael Loft before we get to our cord cutter special. Mike, you want to talk a little bit about some refreshing and updates and some stuff, or do you have something you want me to play, Mike?
Well, I just a few announcements that came out. One, Social Security announced their 2019 increase for SSI and SSDI, and it's the highest in 7 years. It's going up 2.8%, so that's about $28 on 1,000. So, of course, the SSI folks will get theirs on December 31st, and SSDI, third of the month or whatever it is that it comes down. So that's welcome news for many people. Let's see. Also, Hulu has announced that they will be offering described audio. We don't know how much or what day that's going to roll out, but they have announced it last week that they've definitely made the commitment to do it. And as Bill has pointed out, they have at least fixed accessibility on the iPhone app, and they claim they're going to fix the website as well. So for folks who are either wanting to cord cut, and I know Bill uses Hulu a lot, so that's going to make that hopefully a totally accessible experience, including some described audio. Another story of interest, I think, is that some folks in Maryland are suing Walmart over inaccessible kiosks. I guess the kiosks talk a little bit, but not enough. And when a lady asked for help, Walmart, one of the friendly employees helped her and helped himself to $40 of her money. So that and a few other people just having issues with the kiosks, I've kind of decided to maybe, just make these things fully accessible. The NFB is involved with it and say that they reached out to Walmart to help get these fixed, and they've not been responsive. So NFB State of Maryland, and three individuals from Maryland are pursuing that. Now, I'm going to ask Chris. I thought Bill said you used the kiosks. Is that correct? Okay, maybe she's busy.
I don't think she did.
No, that's not correct.
Oh, that's a different Chris.
No, but you can ask Sean. And I know your wife works at Walmart. Ask her, and if you know how the kiosks work, because she works at Walmart. Have you played with them at all, or has your wife ever talked about them?
I have not, but I know people that do, and they say they haven't had a lot of issues with it. Now, my wife, like I said, she's in personnel right now. I know blind people that have used them, and they said they haven't had too many issues. But that lady who the person stole the $40 from her, if she's including that in the lawsuit, I will say she should have gone.
That's not. They've been reimbursed. But the point is, they say some of the prompts talk and some of them do not. I didn't know that any of them talk. These are the self-checkout.
And some Walmarts, they're slowly, from what I understand, everything is not in every Walmart right now, but they're getting them in, and now maybe those ones in Maryland, I mean, I don't know, but a lot of them do have the prompts that do work, because I know blind people that have used them, and I know they're not in every Walmart in Austin, but they're at a number of them.
I'm just curious now how they work, because like, don't you have to put the product on top of the glass, on top of the thing, so it can read the barcode? How would you know where the barcode is? How would you know how to do that if you can't see, unless it scans the product on both sides? You know how that works?
Yeah, that part I don't know, because like I said, I've never used a self-check, because when I go, I usually get shopping assistance anyway. You know, I'm not one of these quote-unquote super blinks that thinks they can shop with by themselves and all that. You know, I get shopping assistance, and I go to a checkout. Right now, I still do it the old-fashioned way because, I don't know, even if I can see, I think I'm hesitant of some of the self-checks.
Okay. Well, I think it beeps when you scan the product.
Yeah, I believe it does. I've heard them beep when they're scanning. I have heard that, but...
But anyway, in other news, and I don't have the specifics, though, but Apple announced a refresh of some new... There's a new iMac... And there's a new Mac Mini. That's the very small computer that you could get for like $799. Very small for someone who wants a Mac but doesn't want to spend a lot of money. There's a new iPad, I believe. But I was confused. They said 11 and 12.9, and I wasn't sure if that was for the iPads or the Mac. I don't have all the information. I heard it. I've got a good audio clip that where they went through all the announcements. But if someone's really interested in it, we can dig that up. Those who have some money to burn and want a new iPad or a new Mac or Mac Mini, Apple's got some new stuff out there. Also, 12.1 was released yesterday and claims to now allow FaceTime calling for up to 32 users.
months.
Well, I couldn't even get the video to work last week talking to one person, so I'd be curious to see how well that works. And also, the
I can imagine. How would you put 32 users on video, and each user would take a tiny pinpoint on the screen anyway, Mike?
I don't know that you see everyone at once. I think you see the person that's speaking, maybe. I don't know. I'd be surprised at how well it works. I could see it with a group of 7 or 8. 32 would be a bit much. I mean, that would be...
Now, the Mac Mini would interest me, but for those who don't know, the Mac Mini is the computer, but it does not come with a monitor. You have to buy a separate monitor for that. It's just a box that your keyboard and monitor to, or a wireless keyboard, will work. So, just to let you know about the Mac Mini.
Well, those new iPads are up there near $1,000 if you want one of the state of
the art. Yeah, they're very, very, very expensive, but they're very good. But you're going to pay the bucks for them, and so kind of a whole new line there.
I guess you and Jenny can tell that there's things you can do with the iPad that you can't necessarily do with the iPhone.
That's true. It will do some things that it's just loads pages better. It's a very powerful little machine. So it works.
And we have a caller from 828 land.
Probably Buddy.
Buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And we haven't heard from you in a while, so what words of wisdom do you have to impart to us today?
I went to the fishing tournament for the blind last week, and we had a real good time. Didn't catch any fish. Margie caught one fish. I didn't catch any, but we had a good time and made it back. And looking forward to find out what's going on. I've got an iPad Pro and an iPhone, and tell me some things that you can do on the iPad you can't do on the phone. I've got both, and I wish they would make it easier for you to put ringtones on either device without having to use iTunes. And yesterday, I got a video from Braille Bibles for the Blind, their new Braille printer. And I sent the video to a friend of mine. He described it. He said that thing was about 4 feet by 4 feet. It made my Juliet look like a toothpick. Another thing, theirs works and mine's not working at the present time, so I'm probably going to get that Columbia sooner or later.
I will say, the iPad Pro, the one that we have, one of the things that you can do, if you're wanting to go between applications, you can hold down your Alt key, because ours has a fold-out keyboard, and you can Alt-Tab between apps, which makes it a little bit easier.
I don't like the screen split. I'm having a little difficult with that sometimes.
I like the idea of the fold-out keyboard when you need to do a lot of typing. That seems to work very well. It just does a few things that I don't know that you can Alt-Tab on the phone or, you know, do those types of things. But, you know, it's one in preference. We're going to talk a little bit about it here coming up in a few minutes, because I like the sound of the iPad a little bit better. But other than that, I mean, but it's...
I like it for navigation if you have a big page or a big application, and you want to get to the tabs at the bottom of the screen or something quick. It seems like it's always easier for me to do it on the iPad than it is on the phone.
Now Bill, you had a keyboard. That didn't come with your iPad, did it? No, wasn't that something you bought separately? Or
I bought separately, but it was designed for it. It's magnetic, and it folds together in the case. And
okay, that's what I meant. Okay.
So then you don't have to worry about recharging it.
Yeah. Well, I could have bought a Bluetooth. And the advantage of this one, too, is you don't have to use a battery with the keyboard. So you're never going to run out of a battery with it. And it's a full-size keyboard. But like I said, it's all in preference and what you like. Also, the other advantage that I see to the iPad Pro over the cell phone is the LTE card or the phone card is much better in the iPad. Don't you think, Jennifer?
It seems to be stronger, yes.
Yeah.
Usually get a pretty good one.
The battery lasts longer, I'll say that. You have to turn grand clock off. I had to turn grand, even though I like it. I left it on one device, and I silenced the chime because that eats the battery up real fast. and you have to make sure all your apps are closed. I found that out. I like one app open at a time. I don't like more than one app open at a time.
But it works. I love my phone, too, especially with the Braille display. But, Mike, any more news we've got before I launch into demo?
No, I would just say the only downside I've seen at iPads are the microphone.
That terrible.
Oh, yeah, I don't like that microphone. No.
Remember, I do have some news that we can impart, and that I found out about it on Blind Bargains, is that GE makes a microwave oven that supports Alexa, and you don't have to have an Alexa device to do it. It has a button for Alexa on the microwave itself. And it also has a barcode reader on the microwave, so when you put a frozen dinner in, before put the box in for the frozen dinner, and it reads the barcode, it will properly set the microwave up for how it's supposed to be cooked.
Oh, that's neat.
So how lazy can you be, right?
True. But I've read some reviews.
So now all they got to do is get a little robot that goes over and gets the thing out of the freezer for you and puts it in there.
Right, and picks it out.
That's right.
And I discovered Alice Cooper has a show that had been taken off the radio, and when I went to the Outer Banks, I found it, and now I'm listening to it. I wrote him and told him, I'm going to miss Perry Mason for Alice Cooper.
Yeah.
So that kept me up all night long listening to his show. He's got a neat persona. He's still playing and still touring, and that's amazing. Him and Glenn Campbell played a lot of golf. I thought that was fascinating.
But you're going to be able to watch Perry Mason again when we get through with you here in just a few moments. Jaws 2019 was released yesterday if you're a Jaws user. And I think more and more features will roll out over time. Seems to be a little more responsive, a little faster booting up perhaps. But that is Jaws 2019, and they went to a new type scheme, which means, like, for example, if you're an old Jaws user and you couldn't catch up to get caught up with the current SMA, you can buy a one-year lease of Jaws and go on the website and do it on the portal for like $90
a year.
Yeah, and that brings you up to the current version. Now, I say all of that to say this. If you're doing any type of web browsing and things on the net, you really need to have the latest and greatest versions of the software that you can. I'm not saying that you should keep having to buy it or anything, but it's just you get a much better experience with browsing and just doing things on the internet. So
make sure you got enough RAM. I'm getting a new computer. It's going to have 8. My laptop has only got 4. No wonder it's so slow and it freezes. So
yeah,
I think when they get the new licensing in as well, Bill, you're going to be able to deactivate and reactivate your license keys
without doing anything. You can go to one computer to the other, and you don't have to call tech support and say, I lost my Jaws key. We put something.
How many times have we done that?
Yeah.
Did I understand it right? That the one of the iMacs has 64 gigs of RAM.
That's what I heard, Tim.
You better check out.
Yeah, 2 terabyte SSD. So
yeah,
you're gonna pay a pretty.
How would you have liked to had that computer that I had in the hospital? This guy rolled it in on this big server, and there were 3 computers. And he said it scanned my heart for I guess it was MRI. It had 3 terabytes of RAM. Where in the name of the Lord do you put 3 terabytes of RAM? It came up the minute he turned it on. I don't know if it had an SSD on it or not. I was fascinated by 3 terabytes of RAM. That's a lot of RAM.
I will tell you that, and I'll say this and we'll get ready for our demo. Every computer in this house has been switched over to a solid state drive. The performance, and of course the cost of them, has come down so much that the performance on your drive is just outstanding.
No mechanical device.
No.
What about people said, well, if you buy an SSD, it's like a flash drive, and if it it's not a mechanical device, but part of it goes out, you're up the creek. That's the thing of the past. I'm sure they developed that flash drive better than they used to.
Well, yes and no. I mean, yeah, they are better than they were when they first came out, but I'm a fan of staying with Samsung because I bought a lesser known brand and it did fail me. So
yeah, we buy Samsungs. That's all that we've got in here, but because it's a good brand and it works and it just does, you know, so.
And of course, if you have a solid state drive, Mike, wouldn't you certainly recommend a conventional drive for backup purposes at some point? Maybe I don't know. I mean, that's just
yeah. If you're someone that collects a lot of music or old time radio or movies or whatever,
If you're do you put your screen reader and all your information on your SSD or just
that's
you just
correct.
Put the,
yeah.
the
screen? Yeah, you install your software, your C drive, so to speak, would be your software. SSD. So that
and then use your mechanical drive for a backup.
Right,
that makes sense. How much RAM do you recommend?
Depends upon what you're going to be doing.
Some people could get by with 4, but yeah, if you could afford it, I'd
at
be
least
to go
8
to
or 16.
What's the highest terabyte in these solid state drives, Mike? Do you know?
Well, I guess 2 terabyte. I haven't researched it lately. This stuff changes all the time.
It changes all the time. On mine,
I think you're going to pay a lot for that.
You're going to pay a lot for that. Mine has 1 terabyte. My laptop is the only one I know that's got a solid state drive in it, and then 1 terabyte. Backup drive on it, 2 hard drives on the same laptop. Makes it kind of nice for
me. Mike, do you know if they have the solid state drives in parallel with each other so that you really have 2 drives, but you're working on 1 drive, but it has 2 drives so that if one goes down, the other one continues to operate? Do you know if they do, you know, like the servers do?
They do make something like that. It's a combo hybrid type drive. I can't remember what there's a name for that where it has SSD and it has the regular and then it's supposed to hand off as needed.
If it boots up to the SSD, is the other drive is it in silent mode or is it still turning at 7200 or greater RPM?
It's still spinning if it's connected, so that's going to reduce your battery life, you know, if you're on a laptop or whatever. But
right.
But you can also change that in Power Management, Mike, if you're not using that drive and it won't spin unless it's called for.
Right, so it just depends on how much you, if you don't store a lot of data, you could get by with a 256 or 512 gigabyte drive and, you know, not need, because if you have that second spinning drive, I think overall it does slow down your system a little bit. So, you know, use it if you do store a lot of data, but if you don't, then you could go all solid state. And
I'll say this before we start. I use that one particular computer sometimes when I go out and do live events when I'm playing music, because I can store that music on the second drive and I don't have to plug in USB drives to play all my music. So it kind of helps that way. So that was my purpose in doing that. And it's worked. So it makes it a little easier, because how many times have I been out doing something and the drive got it? Somebody tripped or knocked the drive out, and that causes some problems. Well, it's time we're going to take a look at cord cutting and a streaming service. Now, a word of caution, this was the first time we've tried this demo on this particular recorder, and there's some refinements and things that need to be made, so bear with that. Understand it is not a tutorial. It's just 2 people using what needs to be used and trying to explain to you along the way what exactly we are doing, but it's not meant to be a replacement tutorial. But we had a lot of fun doing it, and we'll talk more about this at the conclusion of this demo. Does anybody need to say anything before I start the demo? Well, I guess not. So sit back for the next 23 minutes and listen to cord cutting -1. Hello, and welcome to our demo on the Fire TV and cutting the cord. And to join me today is my wife, Jennifer. Jennifer, how are you?
Good.
Now, Jennifer, I've been talking about cutting the cord on the cable for a long time, but you were kind of the reluctant one, weren't you?
I was, because we had Comcast, and we had the X1, which let our cable system talk to us, because for a long time we didn't have a TV that talked.
So once we started out last year with the Roku, but once we found out about the Amazon, the Roku just didn't cut it, did it?
No, there's no comparison to the Amazon and the Roku.
You tried it. You said, oh, I'm brave, I can do it. Then after about 3 days, you said, well, what did you say?
After about 3 days, I said, I want a Fire TV. I'll make a trade with you.
Yeah, you tried to trade me the Roku. So anyway,
but you started out with the Fire TV in the bedroom. It wasn't in the living room, so I thought that was a fair trade.
Right, but you wanted to give me the Roku.
Yeah, in the bedroom.
Yeah, but we knew that wasn't going to work, didn't we?
Yes.
So anyway, we now have two Amazon TVs, fortunately. So once, and our purpose here is not to do a demonstration of the Amazon TV, only in as far as where we need to do what we need to do to show you guys, because Jeff did an outstanding one here that you can get in an earlier podcast and listen to here on the Coffee Club. So once we got that all settled and whatever, we then decided, well, how are we going to do this? So our friend Greg came over and installed an outside TV antenna, which cost us about $80. That included installation, and that was an RCA omnidirectional antenna, which allows us to use our antenna to get local channels, but we'll get to it in a few moments, but also needed a second part of the component to get the national networks, to like ESPN and some various other things like CNN and A&E and all of those different channels, the History Channel. But so we started out with something called DirecTV Now, but decided, maybe we didn't want to pay that much money. So we went to something called Hulu, which has recently been enhanced. And we found out that really worked well on all of our devices. So, Jenny, do you want to start out with the remote control, or do you want to start out with the Lady A in your portion of the demo?
Oh, we can start out with the remote control if you want to.
Okay, so it's a typical day. Jennifer Sparks wants to sit down and watch some television. So it's about 6 o'clock at night. So what would you normally do?
Well, if I was going to use the remote, I would pick up the remote, hit the power button on the TV, and it takes it a second to come on.
your videos. 3 of 7.
And once I know that the TV's on,
use left and
I
right
would hit the little guide
lines.
Button that would take me to the antenna.
Now, where's that guide button
Judge
located at?
It's right next to the long button that you would normally use
channel
to
guide.
Control
use
the
up
volume.
And down to move between channels. Use left and right.
And it brings up the channel
the
guide.
Inside the channel. Channel list tracks. Station.
Okay.
Name ABC.
And you can go from channel to channel by using the up and down arrow, the little ring on the
vacation. The 700 Club, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Judge Judy, 4 p.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Right now, Judge Judy's on. And if you wanted to watch that,
ABC,
all you have to do is hit the select
25th.
Button, which is the little center of the circle.
So go ahead and do that.
ABC. One, Judge Judy, Thanksgiving, Indian Terrorism, Mysterious Mexican Band Vacation. Player Chrome, use down button to bring up on auto.
Next! Oh, my proof, Miss Hankins here saw the van was in the garage. She did have a van.
She had a van in the garage.
And it was
plus AOC 6.1.
And that's on channel 6.1.
Judge Judy.
So, if I wanted to go to, say, channel 13, I could either use the arrow key and keep going up through all the channels till I got there, or I can hit the microphone button on the remote, which is what I would usually do, and say, tune to channel 13.1.
Tune into 13.1.
Pulling together.
One of the reports said that your sister showed up at a homeless shelter in Hawaii. Did that happen?
I don't think so. I didn't go to a homeless shelter.
Now, how do you find out what's playing on that channel?
Story about arriving in Hawaii a few days ago.
You can either hit the back button and go to the guide.
And getting separated from her twin sister. Was she robbed?
Up and down arrow.
Dr. Phil, new, ABC, 29%, 1 of 58. On now row, use left and right to move between items on the row. Use up to dismiss the row. Up next, high witness news at 5 o'clock.
Tantrum demanding money.
And it also tells you
and,
what's going
to
come on next.
Tried to help her reconnect with her sister.
Okay, so let's suppose you wanted to watch some local news right now, and you know that it's on channel 59. How do you do that?
Friend in Hawaii.
I just hit the little microphone button on the remote because the A lady is built into the TV.
The day of the crash, correct?
The three of us
tell it
together and.
Go to channel 59.1.
I'm not sure.
What did happen today?
Tune to channel 59.1.
Tune into 59.1.
Right around the lower 50s by the time the sun goes down, and once the sun goes down,
we're
actually not going to be quite as cool. We're looking at temperatures not dropping below 40 degrees,
and
which we haven't seen
know,
in about 11 days now. But we do have rain showers.
Fox 59 News first at 4. New Fox, 31%, 1 of 58, 32%.
And that 31%
on
now
row, use left and right to move between items on the row. Use up to dismiss the row. Up next, Fox 59 News live at 5.
And it's way off to our north.
Now go ahead and pause it for just a second.
Those showers will move.
Pause. Fox 59.1.
Okay, that'll give me a minute to say all.
Fox 59 News first at 4.
All of this is off of our local antenna. No cable needed. So let's go ahead and maybe go to channel 13.2. So go ahead and do that.
Tune to channel 13.2.
Tune into 13.2.
Dog is like feeding loco, we do a horse.
Excuse me, but whatever that is, would it have the same effect on a horse?
You mean sawdust? No, I found found no trace.
Murder, she wrote, Joseph. 33%, 1 of 58.
That's murder, she wrote.
34%, on Mal Row. Use left and right to move between items on the row. Use up to dismiss the row. Up next, Little House on the Prairie.
Okay, let's now go to channel 4.2.
I agree.
Tune to channel 4.2.
Tune into 4.2.
Might not make your party 42% better. Shorten your cold with Coldies, guaranteed.
Not allowed to use the big oven. You don't need to know the backstory, but be assured it is justified. Oh, help yourself to some Coke or Diet Coke. I put them in the fancy pictures, and now I don't know which is which.
Blackish. WTTV DT2. 71%. 158.
Okay.
Now row. Use left and right to move between items on the row.
Now,
up to dismiss the row. Up next, Blackish.
Amazing women.
We get 58 channels, right?
Right.
Now, there's a few duplicates, but we still get 58 channels.
WTTV.
Right.
All right. So, all of these are on our local TV. But, let's give them a small demo of what you can do with Lady A instead of using your remote.
Okay, so if you are close to your device, you might want to turn the microphones off because I don't know if I can say her name fast enough to keep her from triggering yours. So we'll give you a second to do that. Alexa, tune to USA on Hulu.
Tune into USA on Hulu. Loading content.
Takes a second for Hulu to load because we didn't have it loaded.
Corm, she's had a surgery. She may be paralyzed. Your corpsman moved her after the crash.
I did everything right. Talk to the EMTs. You can't blame me for that.
I know Mary's parents have the answer for what was done to her.
Alexa, pause.
You're looking for someone to pin it on.
Player controls. Control by For King and Country on Amazon Music.
Alexa, stop.
She did more than what you wanted that time. So, you can tune in to any of the networks that you wish to by simply using your voice.
I can turn the TV off and on.
Right. Now, I will show you later on in the tutorial, if you want to record a show, you're able to record one of these shows on Hulu. Now, the antenna part is free. Once you get it installed and get it going, you can get all your local channels. If you want a lot of the national networks, this is a service that costs you $39 a month, but that gives you all your local shows and your national networks and a big variety of movies or TV shows on demand. Okay, Jennifer, why don't you do the demo of The Rookie and ask you know who to play The Rookie. You can watch shows you might have missed.
Alexa, play The Rookie on Hulu.
Getting The Rookie from Hulu.
We must have those commercials.
Oh, yes. So this would be the most recent episode. If you missed one, you can go back and watch.
previous episode. Previously, that's the cool thing about Hulu. We can watch the previous week's episode or the last
one.
Most recently.
We got some new blood this morning. Lucy Chen, Jackson West, and John Knowles, who was born before disco died.
I don't give a damn about your age. Show me what you got.
I hate what you represent. A walking midlife crisis. LAPD isn't a place for you to find yourself.
Everything is a test, Officer Shannon. You just got another rep.
Show me those hands. Now!
Fire control, so you can always stop it if you want to stop it. And
start it. How did you stop her? Did it just stop?
I stopped it with the remote.
Oh, okay. But you can use your voice or whatever. Now, this encompasses all the TV and the TV shows. We're just showing you a small example. But let's say this is an all-in-one device right here that we've got set up. So you're on here, you've watched your local news and whatever, but now you want to listen to one of your ball games. So let's tune to one of your sports channels, even though we know that that's not available right now, because the time we're recording this, there are no ball games on. But so you picked up your remote. The way this is all tied in with the television, so do like you would do if you were going to either listen to a football or a basketball game. Now, we also have a XM subscription, which allows us to do this, but if we knew the game was on TuneIn or one of our favorites, we could also play it that way. So go ahead and do what you do when you...
So I do it either one of two ways. If I go through the TV, just so I know where I am, I hit the home button.
Home, 2 of 7.
And then I just say...
Use left and right to move between items.
Play the Indiana Pacers on SiriusXM.
Indiana Pacers from Bill SiriusXM.
99. Pittsburgh's at Calgary. Home feed SiriusXM 167. Internet 924. Away feed Internet 942. Again at 9, it's Washington.
No, that's the schedule because there's no game on.
Right. So we've got the power here in the front room because of our setup, and we're very fortunate to have it set up this way, to where if we wanted to watch ESPN on Hulu, CBS, whatever, we could do that, but we can also use this to tune in with, you know, tune in radio, SiriusXM, or whatever the app that we needed to play the station. So it's kind of a one stop. We also saved $100 on our cable bill, and it would have been more, but we have a premium internet because of the Legend, and it's been working for us. So Jenny, what is your takeaway so far on your experience of cutting the cord?
I think it was well worth it. It changed the way you do a few things. I was spoiled with the cable, because all I had to do with the cable box was tell it to turn video description off and on if I wanted a show with video description. But it's not that hard to do it with the TV. You just have to hit the buttons and, you know, do it in the menu.
So that's one of the things you now have working. Most of the Describe channels are on the networks, and you can get that through your local antenna. Now, you don't have to go outside up on a roof to get a local antenna to work. We've gotten them at Best Buys for like $59 with an amplifier, which allows you to keep the antenna on the inside and do your local TV. So it is one of those things that works very well. Any other conclusions before I do the second part of the demo and go with the computer and or iPad to show how you can listen to some of these things?
I'm amazed that we both watch more TV, because there's channels that we didn't know about on the antenna. Like, if you like the older shows, there's MeTV, and they have a lot of Andy Griffith and some of the, like, Murder, She Wrote, and some of the older shows. And there's a Western station that has a lot of Westerns, and it's just so much more TV than we had before, in a way, even though we had all those channels on cable.
Kind of a great thing, and we're glad that we have it. You can also watch your Netflix. You can watch just about anything. And I suppose the thing that I like about it, being a news junkie with this Amazon television and the setup we got, I can watch local news in Florida or all the way around the country. And it's just a really cool thing. And the good news is, if you're totally blind, you don't care about the TV size, but for $149, you can get a 32-inch TV that talks just like this, same features, same everything. It's just maybe the picture quality might not be good as one that's a 4K, but we're not really concerned about that. You know, if you've got people that are really into the 4K, I can understand it. But otherwise, $149, that is a cool, cool thing. And I will be doing a short demo on how you can watch these channels, with the exception of the local channels. You can use your Hulu on your computer or your iPhone or iPad and get all of these channels and the network. So we'll be doing that. Anything you want to say in conclusion, Jenny?
I would just encourage anybody. I mean, if you've been on the fence, try it. Because I was a skeptic. I thought, oh man, I'll miss so much if I do that. But, the $100 I saved made it well worth it.
So, understand that everybody's mileage is going to be different depending upon the size of the town that you live in, your proximity to getting a local signal. This antenna goes up to 75 miles. So, anyway.
You want to look for the omnidirectional one if you can, especially for an outside one, because then you don't have to turn it, because it can receive the signals from every direction without turning the antenna.
So thank you very much, Jenny. And if anybody has any questions, they can join our mailing list on the Coffee Club at the Legend website, legendoldies.com, or send me a direct email at bill@billsparks.org.
Very good, Bill. Sounds good.
I guess we're back.
We're back.
We are back.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Bill.
I wanted to take that with the on the PC, but there was too many problematic things that were happening, and I didn't want to do a whole bunch of mistakes that might, you know, because the website is a work in progress. The iPad was a lot more the same. I mean, the iPad works pretty good, so there was no real problem there. Jeff, you might want to give out the number again, and we'll see if we have any callers.
Okay, it's 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. And the meeting ID is 848-725-450. 848-725-450. Hit the pound key. It's going to ask for user ID. Hit the pound key again, and you're in like Flynn.
I was not aware that Hulu had a live streaming service for cable. I knew they had where you could watch like your network shows after they aired. I didn't know they offered the $39 kind of similar to what DirecTV Now and all them had. I learned that today.
And AT&T is coming out with another streaming service that's, I think, $30 a month as well. They're all competing with each other. It's gonna get
Apple launches theirs after the first of the year, and they've signed deals with Discovery, Fox, Disney, CBS, Viacom. They have deals with all of the major companies except for Comcast. You know, so your channels owned by NBC right now are not part of the Apple deal. But it launches sometime in January or February.
And if you don't care about local channels, Bill, if you want Sling TV, you can do that. They don't give you the local channels. But, you know, frankly, I really could care less about my local channels most of the time, except for one channel.
In some areas, Sling does give you local. In some areas, they do. Some they don't. It depends on what town you're in.
Right.
And I also think that there's a package. I think you can actually determine whether you want the local channels or not, and Sean, from what I've been told.
The reason I use Hulu or DirecTV Now is that I can go to Florida and still be able to watch my local TV, you know, from home. Now, that does not apply to like your television. If, for example, if I had an Amazon, you know, Fire TV in Florida, I could not watch my local Indiana channels, but on my iPad or iPhone or any other mobile device, I could. But they limit that. I've looked at several others. I've looked at one called Philo, but then they don't label their channels so well, so you don't know what channel you're watching. So
here's the other thing about cord cutting. Just be aware that there's a lot of streaming services out there, and if you want to get everything that you want, you could end up spending more than you would be for some cable packages if you subscribe to a lot of these things. So, you know, be careful for what you wish for. So,
now, what I'm wondering though, Bill. All right, Hulu has ESPN.
That's right.
What I'm also, and they have your Fox Sports Net, Fox Sports One, and all those channels. Obviously, now I know in some cases, are they allowed to, when ESPN or Fox Sports is running, say, a basketball game or a baseball game, do they black that out, or is it allowed? Because, you know, the NFL, NBA all have their own internet packages that you buy for a couple hundred dollars a season. Do those games still come through on the stream of ESPN on Hulu or Fox Sports 1?
They still come through on the stream, for example.
Okay, if it's on ESPN, it'll run, but of course you only get your local market team. Okay, that's what I was wondering.
So it's pretty good. The other thing that I've noticed about, well, with DirecTV Now, for example, they only hold shows up to 72 hours. You can go back and watch shows on demand on Hulu at any point in time. So let's say, for example, you miss a show on Monday but want to watch it over the weekend, no problem, or 3 weeks later or whatever the case may be. DirecTV Now does not have, or at least in our area, a deal with CBS, so you can't watch the CBS lineup. So there's trade-offs for both. I think DirecTV Now might even let you get the Sunday ticket.
Yes, they do, because DirecTV has exclusive TV rights for Sunday tickets, so you can get that on DirecTV Now. But now, I know.
Oh, can you hold on a second, Sean? For those who don't know, what is Sunday ticket?
It is the NFL package where you get all your out-of-market games. Now, your local, if you're in your area, you won't get your local on Sunday ticket because you get it on your local channel. But let's say I'm in Austin. I want to watch the Packer game, but it's on at the same time as a Cowboy game. I can, you know, if you have DirecTV, DirecTV Now, PlayStation, there's some other devices that it's available on, but DirecTV has exclusive cable satellite. You know, you watch that game. If you're a Packer fan and you live in Austin, you can watch all your Packer games by clicking to whatever channel the Packers are on if they're playing at the same time as your local team.
Okay. The other thing I will let you know is if you're watching some of these sporting events and you have your cable company supports it, which mine does, if you want to watch the, for example, I was watching the Giant game last week. God knows why, because they certainly didn't perform the way I should have. And no, don't say too much, Bill, please. You know, you might ruin my cover here. You know that. So the game was in English, but when I clicked for the descriptive video, because they're not describing any video, it's called SAP or Secondary Audio Program. If I wanted to, I could watch the same game with Spanish announcing.
Yes, you can.
You can. And, I mean, so there's a lot of them out there now. There's no doubt about it. I think the beauty of this whole thing was, yes, we can get the Hulu, and how compatible it worked with our Lady A device and all of that stuff. But
I do have to shout out for YouTube TV, because I've seen it in action. It is similar to what you're talking about there with Hulu, about 44 channels. You get a few of your locals. And when you're out of town, you cannot watch it live, but you can record events on your local channel and then watch those later. You will see the channels that's in your market.
Now, where were you watching YouTube TV, and how was it being provided to you when you were watching it at the time, Mike?
Well, it was not mine. I was, it was a gentleman by the name of Joe Hodge, and I was in Louisville, and he showed it to me. And it was very accessible. And also, he talked about how when he went on his honeymoon in Chicago, that he was still able to watch his Louisville evening news. It just recorded, and he could watch it. He could not watch it live, but he could watch anything that was recorded.
But with Hulu and DirecTV now, you can watch it live.
Bill, it's 10 o'clock. I just want to let you know it's 10 o'clock, so we're
good. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll just talk a few more minutes. Does anybody have any other questions before we go on? Dave, Chris, you have any questions?
No, it's all interesting.
I think the takeaways...
We're just taking it all in.
I think the takeaways I like on it is $149, and you can be in a talking television and doing the same thing, you know, with an antenna. But it's very doable. It's just finding the other packages you want. Everybody's going to be a little better at one point or time. But, Mike, this one that I looked at last night called Philo TV.
Oh, junk. Oh, stay away from it. Don't waste your time.
And there's another service called Locast, which gives you local TV channels in specific markets. I looked at their website. It's another piece of garbage.
And another one is called Tubi. Ooh. So you want to say something, John?
Well, I know one person who signed up with Philo, and his only reasoning was he did not want sports channels. Everything else, he had to get sports channels, and he so far likes it that he's the only one that I've heard that has liked Philo.
Is he visually impaired? Because it's not very accessible.
Yeah, he is. He said it is. He's had no problem. It's Scott from the conversation station. He has actually been the one that talks about it, but, you know, he's the only one that I've heard that has really liked it. I haven't heard too many good things. Now, on Hulu, I will say, and I assume it's this way on the $39 version of Hulu that you have with all the live streaming, on the regular basic Hulu, even if you have the $10 of it, your local shows are up. Are your network shows that you're talking about, you can watch the past shows, they're up about 3 hours after it airs on the West Coast. So if you miss it on Monday night, you're up at 4 a.m. on Tuesday morning, it's already up, where sometimes on your cable on demand, it may be a day or two or whenever when they get it over to the to on demand.
I can tell you right now, with Spectrum, when I watch a show on demand, like Law & Order SVU, I cannot fast forward or rewind the show, because it's actually like it's downloading it from the internet. So that I can tell you.
It's up to the net. It's up to the network when the network makes it available to Spectrum or AT&T. It's not up to Spectrum, so don't get mad at Spectrum, those of you that are listening. I know Jeff's not, but those of you that are listening, it's up to the network when they make it available.
Right. And, Bill, we have Bill from Chicago, but I know that we want to get to Dave's demo, so we want to make sure there's time for that.
And I'm going to make one of the... Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, real quick. The thing I noticed when you were demonstrating it, Bill, what is the... why does the TV keep talking like 33%, 58%? What is that? What's that stand for?
That
it talks over the program when it's doing that. What is it?
That's the amount of time left in the show.
That's the amount of time left in the show.
Oh, okay. I thought that's probably what it was, but it talks it over the show, and that makes it kind of annoying, because I know when Jennifer...
It doesn't do it for the whole show, though. It just does it when you first
loaded.
Oh, it just does it when you tune in, like me. You didn't tune in the very
beginning.
Yeah,
when you first tune in, and then after that, it stops.
Sometimes, oh, okay, Bill, voice view, like she's using voice view, which is what they use on these Amazon TVs. They can be a little bit more verbal than I'd like it to be sometimes. And that's
yeah, because I don't need all that to say, well, you only got 58 seconds left or 58.
I was going to say, Bill, it's like a nagging wife, but I know I'm going to be in trouble for that one. So, yeah. Bill, you're going to get me out of trouble here, guy.
Right. But, okay. You know, it just works. I would say it's still evolving, but we feel very solid in our decision with the local TV and what we've done, because we're not missing anything. And I think, as you saw there, I can read an audible book, I can listen to my radio stations, I can do whatever I need to do. And it's,
well, if you're recording, Bill, does it... Would that voice go over the in the recording?
I can answer that question, Dave. It doesn't.
Okay.
No, it does not.
Same thing with DBS. Dave, if you record, you can turn DBS or descriptive video on and off. It's part of the recording, but it's not there unless you want it to be there. So when it's recording the channel, it's recording the pure data that comes from that channel.
Okay.
I think what you might even see eventually is, as there's more cord cutting, and as there's more, you may see, let's say, all right, our station here, KVU24, is an ABC affiliate. You may see ABC come into and to them and say, hey, if you want to be an ABC affiliate, you have ABC on your point one. You're going to pick up a couple of our bigger channels, Disney, ESPN, ESPN2 on some of yours, or Fox could say, you're going to run Fox, Fox News, and Fox Sports 1 if you want regular Fox on yours. You may see that. I mean, it may be a few years down the line, but that could happen.
Could. Did somebody have a raised hand? Let's see here.
Yeah, I think there was, but it didn't catch who it was.
Yeah, it's a 505. Hold on. I kept on muted, but I, Dave, if I mute you, I don't know why it's working like that, so let's hope it doesn't do that.
Hang on, just...
Go ahead, Ellen.
Oh, okay. This is Joe. I have an odd off-board comment. I am not a sports fan, but I do like to, just for fun, because Ellen watches some of those games, so just for fun, I like to watch some of those games in Spanish, just for 5 or 10 minutes, see the novelty of it is, and they get more excited than some of the announcers who announce in English. Even when there's nothing going on, the dramatics of football in Spanish is marvelous.
I agree with you, as I do understand a little Spanish. Bill, we got to get to this demo. We don't want
to
get
to the demo because Dave and Chris are going to fire us. We'll get to the demo here. And guys are going to do something completely different today. I'm stalling for just a second.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
It'll be totally different. We went from, well, you know, we've been cutting today a little bit, cutting the cord. Well, we're going to cut the nails today. So, and they're going to be talking about an electric manicure kit. So is anything you want to say before we get started?
No, not really. It calls itself electric. I don't really know why. It actually should call itself rechargeable.
Okay. Well, we are looking forward to this demo, and here we go.
Hello, everyone. Well, today we're going to do something just a little bit different. If you are a guy or a gal and have problems with your nails, like I do, with curled nails and broken nails and bad toenails and all that kind of stuff, we found, Chris and I found, a piece of equipment. It's under $20, and I believe you can get free shipping on this product, and it is an electric rechargeable manicure kit. Now, that covers a pretty wide well, whatever you want to call it, a whole line of things you can do with this piece of equipment for under $20. So, first thing I'll do is let Chris explain a little bit about this product.
This is from Amazon, and it is by a third-party seller. The seller is called Shine Yourself Up, and it's officially called an electric manicure pedicure set with LED light, SYU professional acrylic nail drill machine, rechargeable 7-in-1 nail file kit, and that is why I had to have it written down. It is $19.99, and if you just go into Amazon and put in electric nail kit, it comes up.
Okay.
It's also waterproof, wet and dry, it says.
Well, that's what they say.
That's what they say. Now, we haven't tested that part out and probably won't.
Well, when you take it out of the box, it's there's a little tray in there.
It's a big flat box with a tray that slides out.
Yeah, it's kind of like a throwaway tray. It's that thin plastic stuff. And in that tray, there is the unit itself, which I have in my hand right now. It's about 9 inches long. It's about a little more than an inch and a half, sort of round.
It's oval. I would call it oval.
Kind of oval, I guess, yeah.
It's kind of nice because that way it won't roll away from you easily.
Yeah, so it's not perfectly round, so if you hold it in your hand. And it's about 9 inches long with the cover on the end of it.
It does not come with its own storage. You have to provide the storage unless you're going to keep it in the box.
Yeah, like if you got an old razor case or something like that. And they make a lot of different things you could put this stuff in.
A little zipper cosmetic bag or something.
So, as I said, the unit is rechargeable. So when you take it out of the box, there is a cord. It's got a USB connection, a standard USB on one end. And then it has a plug. It's a two-prong. Well, it's got two holes in the end of the plug. Kind of puts you in the mind of a razor cord connection on the end of that. It's got two little holes in it that mesh up with the prongs that are on the unit itself.
It is a specialized cord, though.
Now, if I hold this unit in my hand, and I put one hand around, I have it turned like sideways, so the ends are going left to right or right to left. And if I wrap my hand around the left end and hand around the right end and pull apart, there is a cover. This would be wind up being the top end, because you might not know whenever you have it laying down on a table which end is which.
Yeah, no, because they look just alike, and it pulls apart sort of like a toothbrush holder.
And that is it's a long cover. It's about half the length of the unit itself, this cover. So we have that cover off. Now, on the opposite end, now they have the cover off. If you look at the very end of it, you can feel where it sort of separates from the unit. The end sort of separates from the unit. And you can take a hold of the very end of it and twist it counterclockwise. And that end will pop off. And once you have that end off, when you want to charge this unit, you would take this cord that I took out of the box, and you will plug it in to the unit itself. It's only going to go in one way, so if you try to put it in the wrong way, it won't go in. And you plug that into the end of the unit.
The rechargeable batteries are basically in the handle.
Right, they're in the main unit itself. Okay, well, now, it's designed that you can plug it into a computer, but if you have, a wall, even an iPhone charger, will, you can use your regular, you can plug this thing into this cable into the unit itself, and in a standard USB, you can connect into your iPhone charger or whatever kind of regular USB charger you have. It doesn't take much to charge the unit. But if you if you're not charging it, you want to put this end back onto the unit. So what you do is you turn it so that it goes in flush against the end of the unit and twist it clockwise till it's straight. And it looks like it always was on the end of the unit if you've got it turned right. Now, when we have I put the end back on the unit because this unit is already charged. So I'm going to take my hands, I'm going to lay this down on the table, and I'm going to bring my hands, I'm going to use, start with the left-hand end, because the left-hand end, because I have that cover off of the unit, is skinnier than the rest of the unit. And I have it turned so that the skinny end, I guess, this, like I said, this unit is oval, so it's not perfectly round. So I'm going to turn it so that the small edges are facing up, so that there's a small edge on the table and it's small on the top, and the wider part is going front to back. So I'm going to bring my hands over to the left-hand end where the skinny end is, and I'm going to put my hands on the top of the unit on the skinny part of it, and there's two buttons on the top, and the top button is your power and your speed, and then off.
So it toggles between off, low, and high.
So if I press it once, it's low and high, then off. And the bottom button, when you turn it on, if you press the bottom or the button towards the main part of the unit and you press that reverses the way your attachments turn. So one way it might be going clockwise and the other way it might be going counterclockwise. That's called a positive negative control button. So what I'm going to do now is there are a bunch of attachments that come with this. There are some little discs, little flat sanding discs, and then all kinds of other attachments. And this is going to handle one of these things to me, and I can explain how to connect them to this unit.
Okay, the first one you would probably want to use, it's sort of cone-shaped, and it is called a cone grind head. It is to contour, shape, and grind along the arcs of your nails.
The time is now 2 p.m.
Well, the clock had to get in on the act. Now, this attachment that she gave me, I'm still looking at the skinny end of the unit, and on the very end of the unit there's a round hole in the end of the unit. So you will take this attachment, it has a skinny
shaft
on one end of it, and the other end kind of puts you in the mind of a fingernail. Feels like a fingernail, sort of. Anyway, what you do is you take the shaft and you're going to put it into the hole of the unit itself and twist it until it locks, which it is. And once that's in there, The nail part is going to, the fingernail type part attachment is going to be, if you hold it, if you twist the unit around in your hand so that those buttons are on the bottom of the unit and that the nail type piece is on the top. And inside of that little nail piece on this attachment is like a little, for those of you know what a reamer is, it's kind of like a little reamer. It's skinny at the top of it, and it gets wider as you move your fingers towards.
Like a comb.
Yeah, like a comb. And when you turn the unit on, and you would put that against your fingernail, the end of your fingernail, you would use that. So you would hold that against your nail, not real hard, but just gently, and work it, you know, from side to side or whatever.
It's a filer and shaper.
It's kind of, yeah, just basically like it works like a file, and you can shape the nails. Then to take this attachment off, just take a hold of the fingernail part of it, and you twist it counterclockwise and pull it off.
The next disc that you would use is called a round sand disc. This does rough buffing, grinding, and you know the lines you get in your nails sometimes, it rubs down those lines.
Okay, Chris has handed this to me. Now, if I understand this correctly, there are other discs you can stick onto this. Is that correct?
There's other sand discs.
Other little sand discs.
They give you an extra sand disc.
And they're like paper thin. So it kind of puts you to mind, and it probably is, like sandpaper.
We're thinking maybe you could get some of the finer grind sandpaper, the peel off, and maybe even make your own.
Yeah. So anyway, it's got the shaft on the end of this with the sand disc stuck on it. And you're going to put it onto the unit the same way you put we put the first one on, by sticking the shaft into the hole of the unit and turning it clockwise till it stops, and then turn it on and turn it back off and do your thing with that attachment. And then to take it off, you turn, take a hold of the attachment, turn it counterclockwise, and give it back to Chris.
And the next thing you're going to use is, it's called triangular buff head. It does fine grinding and smooths out the nail surface. Now, this has two sides. It's kind of weird. It has two sides, but only one side actually works. There's a really rough side that looks like it should work, but it really doesn't unless you're supposed to do that by hand. Here it is. Because no matter which way you put it on, only the triangular disc that you can replace vibrates.
Okay, Chris has handed me this one. And it, here again, it does kind of look like a triangular shape.
With blunted corners, you know, not sharp corners.
And on one side of it, it's real rough. And we don't know why that vibrates, or doesn't vibrate.
It doesn't.
The other side has a flat.
That's the side that has the removable triangular disc on it, and you do get an extra one of those too.
So that when it wears out, you just slide it
away from the unit, I think.
Away from the unit, that's right, and it'll come off. So it goes onto the machine the same way. It's got the shaft, and you put it into the hole of the machine and turn it clockwise to lock it. And use the smooth side to do the work. I guess you could use that rough side if maybe there was something on there that you needed to manually take off.
Yeah.
But this one, it just kind of vibrates. You can sort of feel it vibrating. And Then to take it off, the same way, turn the attachment counterclockwise and you hold the unit in your other hand. And
this, the next one is, the last one, you get four attachments. The last one is a polishing disc. And it is called a cylinder shine head. It's for bright polishing and polishing the nail surface. And you do get an extra one of those, too, to put on the attachment.
Okay, here again, this has...
Now, that slips off the end.
This is... You can't miss this one because it's round. It's a rubber thing. You can replace that by pulling that off of the end. And they sent an extra one of these. That's the one you use to polish up the nail, and or toenails, or whichever, which would be my case.
They sent an extra everything but the cone grinder. They didn't send us an extra one of those.
Okay, and it goes on to the unit the same way. Stick the shaft into the hole of the unit. Turn it clockwise till it stops, and turn it on.
And you can run it either way. You can run it one way for a while, and then you can reverse it.
There, I just reversed it. Put it back where it was. Turn it off. And I can take the remove the attachment counterclockwise. I'm going to hand it back to Chris, so because I'd be the one to lose that. So that takes care of all the attachments. Now what I'm going to do is, because Chris has all the attachments now, and I have the unit in my hand, and I'm going to put that long cover back onto this unit. So all I have to do is just hold the main unit in my right hand and the other piece in my left hand and slide the two together. And they lock together, and I'll hand that back to Chris. And then, because I want to, we'll probably recharge this, so I'll hand you that. I would on the opposite end of the, not the end where your attachment goes on, but the other end where the, you can feel where the bottom end of that unit separates, and you twist that counterclockwise and pull that end off and plug your charger cable in to that and to the unit. And the standard USB that's on the other end, in either into a wall charger or your computer to charge it. So that's pretty much how the unit works. And I will let Chris give you the information about the product one more time and any other comments that she might have.
This is, again, from Amazon. It is from a third-party seller, but it is Prime eligible. It is, the seller, the third-party seller is called Shine Yourself Up. It is an electric manicure pedicure set with an LED light, professional acrylic nail drill kit, rechargeable 7-in-1 nail file kit. Here again, if you just put in electric nail kit, it will come up. It comes with four attachments and some extra discs. It comes with a cone grind head, a round sand disc, which you get an extra one of, a triangle buff disc, which you get also get an extra one of, and a cylinder shine head, which you get an extra one of. It's $19.99. So, you know, it's the one thing I can say about it, I guess the one thing that might be kind of a downside that you might want to know is the discs are going to wear out relatively quickly, just like a fingernail file or an emery board would, just so you know. So just be aware of that. It's a cool kind of device, and it's kind of a cool way for anybody, but particularly a guy, to keep nails, you know, so they're not fiddling around with a bunch of little feminine kind of stuff. It's electric, after all. How much better can you get, you know? It's electric. But it's kind of cool. It does what it's supposed to do.
Well, and you know, a lot of diabetics have problems with their nails. And I know in my case, I have some pretty thick, especially toenails.
Well,
and I even have it with my fingernails, and the thing really does work. It does a really nice job on those for me, especially if I need to have them, if I need to clip them, I can, you know, sand the grind the tops off of the nail, thin them out a little bit, and it makes it easier to be able to take care of them.
Well, that also happens to people. I mean, I'm not diabetic, but I have one really thick toenail that is a result of having damaged that toe some years back, and the nail just never did grow right. And they say, I don't know if this is true, they say that cholesterol medication can also thicken toenails sometimes. Although I don't think that's in my case, because like I said, it's just one nail. So I think it was a damaged nail bed.
Well, just a reminder, it is a cool unit, and it's under $20. Well,
barely, but it
barely.
Is.
Barely.
But it is.
But it does exactly what it's supposed to do. Well, if you have any questions, you could always email Bill Sparks at bill@billsparks.org. That's bill@billsparks.org.
Or if you have any comments or questions about the electric nail kit during this broadcast, you may reach us by calling 646-558-8656. That's 646-558-8656. When you are asked for the meeting ID, enter 848-725-450. Again, that's 848-725-450. And when you are asked for a user ID, just press pound and you will be right in the Zoom room with us.
Well, that's all the time we have for this demo. We hope you've enjoyed it. Everyone have a great week. Stay tuned next week for another exciting demo.
And thank you very much, guys.
Where do you guys come up with these things? I'd love to find out where you guys come up with these things.
Well, one day, Dave said, they ought to make an electric file. And so I asked the A lady, I said her name, and I said, I would like to buy an electric fingernail file, and that's what she came up with. And it was only $19.99. She asked, should she buy it, and I told her to go ahead.
Wow.
I wanted to see it.
And you now have it. We've got a raised hand.
Yeah, I believe it's Joe or Ellen. And I don't want to mute the wrong person here, but let's see if I can unmute you. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, that's me. You got it right. I got a question for you guys. When you trim your fingernails, can you accidentally cut yourself with that?
No.
That's actually good.
It won't cut. Now, if you press too hard and hold it too long, you could possibly get a little abrasion.
The idea is it's
sandpaper-like stuff.
Yeah, you don't put any pressure on it. You let it do the work.
But it doesn't cut at all.
Yeah, it's not a scissor, Ellen.
Okay, I was just curious. I mean, you know, because I am so afraid of cutting my skin, and that's like, I was just curious whether it, you know, as far as the safety feature goes.
It's more like a battery-powered nail file, right? I mean, it's kind of...
Kind of.
It's like a battery-operated emery board.
Right. It just adds all these different attachments to really make them look nice, if that's what you want to do. I don't always do that.
And as someone who just had to pay for an ingrown toenail and have it burned off and the pain that caused, I would say everyone should make this investment. Because like you said, as you get older, your nails get harder, they get thicker, you get more protein in there.
Sorry about that. And also, too, I was just thinking it might be beneficial for somebody who can't afford to go to the salon. You know what I mean?
Well, what I like to do is, because I have some real thick toenails, for example, you know, I will sort of grind the top of it off so that I can grind it down thin, so then I can take the clippers if I need to or whatever and cut it. But
yeah.
because a lot of times some of these clippers are, they're not really big enough to cut those things. So, so
the,
I think I was at a place where they were doing a manicure, and the lady that manicured my nails had an electric thing that worked the same way, kind of, probably more industrialized, but I think they use them there too as well sometimes.
Yeah, I went to a podiatrist for a while, and I was talking to him one day. I said, what are you using? He had a, this electric thing. He said, I'm using a Dremel tool, and I just about died when he said that.
You should probably have one in your workshop, Dave, right?
I would have said, ouch.
Yeah, it wasn't fun at all.
Well, he said he wasn't the gentlest person in the world.
No, he wasn't.
Well, at least he admitted it.
Yeah. He said it was cheaper to buy the Dremel tool than it was to buy one of those manicure things or whatever he was using.
But whatever, you know, but they have, you know what they say, Dave, whatever floats your boat. And it worked for him, and it worked for you when he, when you needed to use the podiatrist to do the work for you. So
yeah,
that's probably more important. We have, we've got phone lines open if anyone wants to call. And so anyone who wants to call certainly can do that. One, I'll give the phone number out. It's 646-558-8656, 646-558-8656. And the meeting ID is 848-725-450. 848-725-450. Hit the pound key, and it's going to ask for user ID. Hit the pound key once again, and as I always say, you're in like Flynn if you'd like to call and add anything to the conversation.
Chris, do you have any recipes this week?
I have a hot cocoa mix that you can make yourself. It's getting winter, and we used to make this up. I don't do it so much anymore because I quite frankly like the kind you buy just fine. Actually, I like the Swiss Miss No Sugar Added. But this is nice because you actually do get, nutritionally, you get some milk out of it. This will make about 8 cups of hot cocoa. I'm going to give it two ways. I'm going to give it one way that you can mix it up and keep it in a storage container and dip out of it. And the other way is you can just make 1 cup at a time. The large mix is 2 cups of powdered milk, 2/3 cup of Splenda or sugar, 1/2 cup of non-dairy creamer, 1/2 cup of unsweetened cocoa powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, and you just put all that stuff together in a big container when put the lid on tight and shake it up. And you use about 1/3 cup of the mixture per 6 to 8 ounces of boiling water, depending on how chocolatey you like it. And the one for the small cup is 2 tablespoons of cocoa, 2 teaspoons of Splenda or sugar, 1 tablespoon of non-dairy creamer. Wait just a minute. I think I messed that up. Let's go back. Let's start with the powdered milk. 2 tablespoons of powdered milk, 2 teaspoons of Splenda, 1 tablespoon of non-dairy creamer, 1 tablespoon of cocoa, 1/8 teaspoon or just a dash of salt. And here again, you just add 6 to 8 ounces of boiling water, however you... I like mine pretty chocolatey. Dave doesn't like his quite as chocolatey as I like mine, so I'll often use 6 on mine and 8 on his as far as the ounces of water. And if you want to make the packet of cocoa that you buy in the store, if you want to make that a little bit creamier, you can also add non-dairy creamer to that. You can add a couple of teaspoons of non-dairy creamer to that, and it does kind of put a little more creaminess in it.
That's a great recipe, Chris, especially on a cold morning when it's 20 below here.
Oh,
and it's cold.
Yeah.
You take a cup of that hot cocoa at breakfast time and warm you up. It's calorie heaven. I love it, Chris. I love it. Every time you come on here, I feel like I'm gaining weight. I'm sorry. I'm just giving you a hard time.
And I know some people. Go ahead, Dave.
We've been told that this winter is going to be pretty wicked. So
yeah, well,
we're hoping not.
I don't want to believe them.
You know, I've heard that, Dave, and I heard that
I've heard the opposite.
More Eastern, it's supposed to be warmer than normal. I've heard complete extremes.
Well, I hope somebody's wrong.
Well, somebody will be wrong, one way or the other.
Yeah, well, I hope it's for the
I hope it's on the warmer side. Yeah,
warm and a lot of precipitation, especially in the south. So I don't know what that'll do for Pennsylvania, but
Chris and Dave, Thanksgiving is coming up, but it's not here yet, but it's going to be, it's early this year. It comes out on the 22nd of the month. Is there anything special that you guys are going to do for Thanksgiving that this year that you didn't do maybe last year or the year before, or anything new that you guys are going to be doing, do you think?
The only new thing we're doing is I'm adding a pecan pie to the pumpkin pies. That's the only thing I'm doing. We're going to have the people, and like we always do. Matter of fact, I've already made the cornbread dressing and put it in the freezer, and I've already made the sweet potato base for the casserole and put it in the freezer.
Oh, really? You make your dressing that far in advance?
The cornbread I do. Now, the stuffing, the white bread stuffing, you can't. But the cornbread, yes, you can. You can make it and freeze it. You just don't bake it till you thaw it.
Interesting.
Boy, Chris, a gourmet's dream come true. You know, I'm not a cook, and I really admire you guys. I really do.
Matter of fact, Tanya and her mom made dressing for the freezer for their Thanksgiving today. So, you know, they make theirs ahead, too. You just make it all up, and you just don't bake it yet.
Now, when you do the turkey this year, are you going to use the indoor turkey fryer or the outdoor turkey fryer? Do you do that every year, or is that something that depends on the moment?
No, Dave always fries the turkey.
And it's the electric fryer.
It's the indoor one.
Okay, the one that's made by Masterbuilt, or one of those?
Yeah, and just so people know, because I didn't realize this for a while, Masterbuilt turkey fryers and Butterball turkey fryers are exactly the same, made by the same people.
And they just came out with a new turkey fryer that they had last week on QVC, Chris, that's a smaller one, so it's made for a smaller bird, it's not as big. I don't know if you saw that last week. So
yeah, that one takes about a 14-pound turkey you can put in that
one. Now this one, we have the one that takes a 22-pound, it's called an XXL.
Wow. Bill, you're here in Chicago, what do you got to say for yourself?
Oh, well, the recipe was good. I got a question to ask Dave. Last week, I heard on his demo his doorbell, the ring bell, and I'm curious. I was checking on that through my security system, and I can't use their camera and doorbell because it's only a touchpad. You can't use touchpad because it doesn't announce anything. But I was curious, how well does that ring bell work, and how well does it work on your phone?
It works really well. They did have some problems. They've got everything pretty well fixed now.
And we don't actually have the doorbell. We have the stick-up cam.
Yeah, they have Ring has the doorbell, and then they have the stick-up cam, which really works the same way. It's just that
nobody has to push a button.
Yeah.
Oh, in other words, when you approach it, it signals you on your phone or what?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, that sounds better than having a doorbell where you push the button, because I already have a regular doorbell. I could just put that camera up there.
You have to be able to swipe to your answer button, though, or your talk button. So,
right.
I mean, you know.
Right. Will that work with, because I got an iPhone Siri.
Yeah.
Well, we don't really have.
Will that work with VoiceOver?
Yeah, yes. we don't have any trouble with it.
Okay.
The only problem we have with Ring is we cannot get them to understand what VoiceOver is, but they keep fixing it, even though they don't really understand exactly what VoiceOver does.
They think it's when you talk to the phone. We have told and told and told them. Maybe somebody there gets it. I don't know, but I know.
Yeah, and remember, Chris, what happens is the people you talk to aren't the ones that design the application. They actually subcontract that out to a
to some salesman or something, right?
And the problem is you need to speak to their app developer, and that's the problem. That's the problem with a lot of these things. Bill, I was going to say, with your home security system, you said it's a touchpad. Could your
if I wanted to switch it right now, I have the push button, the keypad, and my keypad talks.
All right.
In other words, when I press it, it doesn't announce the numbers, but it beeps the numbers and it tells you whether you're set to go away or set to stay at home, or if you're clear and it's clear to set.
So you're not looking to replace it, right? You just wanted.
No. I was going to upgrade it, because last week Dave mentioned the ring. And I looked at those, and I said, well, you know, I wonder if my security system has that, and I could just tie it in without, you know, hooking up a whole separate thing. Well, the one they got, it hardwires in. They could do that, but the only problem is I had to get rid of all my keypads and put in this new keypad, which is only touch. And I said, talked to the tech that was here. He was just here yesterday. He was talking about it. And I showed him how I, for the wife and I, brailled the microwave or brailled the buttons on the back of the stove, you know, these new electronic stoves. And I said, well, could you do this? He said, no, it probably wouldn't work because you had to be able to go to the menu key and then go to what menu you want and then press in your code or if you got to do. So you can never set it up to know what you're doing.
It's always one obstacle after another, Bill. That's part of the problem.
Right. Well, and I talked to my security company because it was Protection One. They've now merged with ADT. It'll eventually come ADT altogether. And I called and talked to them yesterday also, and they said that they are working to get it to work with Alexa. To do that, where you can be able to set it through Alexa. But the thing with those, do you guys ever worry about when you have Alexa hooked to a lot of your stuff, somebody breaking, getting into the code or getting into the frequency?
No, I don't. Dave, do you?
No.
Have anything coded with her, though, do you?
Yeah, especially with Ring. Man, we needed to, what the heck were we doing? Yeah, just the other day. And I called, we had to update our payment information or whatever. And we had to practically sign the Declaration of Independence to get, you know, I mean, they were so tight with security that they, you know.
All we needed to do was change the expiration date on the card.
Yeah, really.
Okay. Now, I'm just curious because, you know, they always talk about these I don't know what they call them now, but all electric home where you can set your thermostat on your iPhone and when you're away and all that stuff and turn your lights on and off and turn this on, turn that on and lock your doors, unlock your doors. And my theory is, what if somebody gets into your code somehow and they can just open your door and walk in?
Well, you know, Bill, life is a risk.
Oh, I know it is.
I mean, anything you use that's internet-based and things that you don't even know are internet-based often are.
Right.
You know, that's always going to be some risk, I guess. I don't think it's probably very high, but, you know, it could happen, I guess.
I've never heard of it happening, but I've often thought of that. Like, for example, you say, okay, you can set your thermostat in the wintertime, if you're away or, you know, adjust it, you know, you're at work, so you're on your way home, so you turn it from 65, say, to 72 or 73, you know, it's warm when you get in the house and all that kind of stuff. Well, my theory is if somebody ever got into that and all of a sudden it's like 20 below zero and they said, oh, Dave and Chris aren't home today, I'm going to fix them, so I turn the thermostat down to turn it off. And to come home, you got broken pipes if you're gone for a couple of days.
Well, and,
or,
you know,
or in the summertime, turn it off and turn the heat on, you know, and crank your heat up to 90-some degrees in the house, you know.
And the big thing to know about that is to make sure you change your codes every once in a while.
That's right, too. And most thermos, I believe, at least for my house, I remember there was a power failure. There was some problem with the batteries in my thermostat initially. And if it gets to a certain temperature, it doesn't matter because I believe there was an anti-freeze thing, so you couldn't freeze your water pipes because the heating would go on at a certain point anyway, no matter what, to protect that. I don't know if that's common, but when I owned the house, that's what we had. That's what our thermos had. And of course, you know, you don't have to use the thermostat with your voice assistant. You can buy these talking thermostats.
Oh yeah, right.
Well.
I know.
There's one guy out in Minnesota. I forgot his name. Harry, someone or other. I don't remember his last name. Who was selling them at one time. So,
Still is. That's talkingthermostats.com, I believe.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one, talkingthermostats.com.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that on the internet.
That is an excellent thermostat.
And the guy's a ham radio operator. I've talked to him before. He's a very, very nice guy. And I'm sure you must have talked to him at some point, too, Chris.
He's a good describer.
He tells you everything. He's very, very good, Bill. So I can tell you, even though I didn't have one because at the time, you know, I didn't know I could have done that. But if you have a regular, you know, forced hot air system with central air, it would work with both. Now I have a system where it's electric baseboard heat, and I don't think those talking thermostats will work with it. My thermostat in my apartment is not battery operated. It's all built in electrically, and I think I'm not sure how that works, Dave. Maybe you can tell me. Is it 220 volts on those things? I don't know how it works, but. But I know I don't think I can use the talking thermostat. It's just a dial like a clock that you set.
It shouldn't affect the thermostat.
It really shouldn't.
No,
if I was to buy one and you get the maintenance guy to put it in, it would work? There is no central air in my building, Dave. It's all forced. It's all electric heat. That's what I'm trying to say. There's no blower. There's nothing like that. That's why I wasn't sure.
Right. Well, it should work because right now I don't have a talking thermostat, but I put on, years ago, I bought the thermostat that has, you got to know your number. It's got the raised print numbers with the dots between. Like it goes all the way down to 55, and then it goes up. Each notch is, I think it's like 5 degrees to 60 and then to 70. So, you feel the 7 or they feel the dot, and it's got an arrow. And in fact, I own another house in Annapolis, and when we remodeled that house, I put central air and new forced air furnace and some. And I even put that on down there for someone that even moves in there that's got an older person has a vision problem. You can still, it makes the numbers bigger, and you can still feel it also.
That's great.
There's a good test for Bill or Dave to go outside your home and see if you can activate it outside the door.
Yeah. Go ahead, Tim. You wanted to say something?
I was going
to
say one thing I was going to say is a lot of your installation companies will go with the talking thermostat. If you ask them or tell them you want an accessible thermostat.
Oh, yeah, they will. They will. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, utility company just proposed something and said basically trying to get everyone to use one of these Nest thermostats because apparently you get a discount for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of email from my utility company, which is National Grid, and if you buy it through them or if you buy it, there's a rebate on these things. But I rent, so I'm not going to buy a thermostat for my apartment because I rent. I'm not going to spend the money. That's my landlord's job. But if I own my own house, I would definitely get one. But
now I want to push the issue a little bit because they're saying you get a discount. And they're saying you're on a certain program, and at the end of the year, if you don't have one of these new thermostats, you don't get the benefits.
What's the Nest thermostat? I never heard of that one.
It's an expensive one.
Well, I figured that.
But it works.
They're offering it with a Google Home for half price.
Is that what you have, Bill?
What?
Don't you have the Nest?
We did have the Nest until we got the carrier put in. And the Nest is totally accessible. The carrier works through Amazon when it works. When it works, but the Nest... The Nest works totally on your iPhone or through Amazon. We never had a glitch with it. Supposedly, this new carrier talks to the dealer and talks and alerts the dealer if your thing ever goes down. Well, they've never done anything about it. But we got two or three alerts last week that it was down, and I had to go in and reset the system.
Yeah, you had one where it didn't work until your power went out, and that caused it to reset. Now you know how to manually reset it.
I know how to manually reset it. But without Lady A, we could not use it. Where you can use the Nest, and it's very accessible. You can change the thermostat, do all kinds of things. So,
hey, let me ask you a question, Tim. Can I give you a request? Oh, maybe he's not here.
But the Nest is going to Florida with us.
Oh, good.
Are you going to take it off the wall?
You have a request.
It's already off the wall.
Yes. I would like here is it. Now, I don't know the name of the group, the song that does it, but it goes, Bob, da-doo-da, sweet Mary, I'm coming home. You know that song? I think it's by Wadsworth Mansion or something that.
Yep. I think it's, is it just called Sweet Mary?
I think it's called Sweet Mary by Wadsworth Mansion. I always give you these crazy things to stump you. And it's like, you know, like the Johnny Carson show, we stump the band. I can't stump the Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to do Halloween today on
we'll get some Halloween stuff in there.
You could do the one that Rip Van Winkle song, but that's not really Halloween, but it has a Halloween kind of feel to it.
Oh, I know what
you're supposed
doing.
I'm supposed to give Bill a message.
Oh, yeah?
You there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday afternoon, I stumbled on to the competitive station in Michigan.
Yeah.
And I was listening to a show called Him and Her, and I talking to them about, they're talking about dogs. And either seeing-eye dogs or pet dogs. So I was calling and talking about my dog I had. I didn't have a seeing-eye dog, but dog we had on the farm. And he was telling me, I said, yeah, I listened to your competitor in Indiana. He said, next time you talk to Bill, say him, said, hello. Name is Dave. I don't know his last name. Dave G or something like that.
Yeah.
Dave Gordon.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't tell him his last. He didn't see it. I saw his name on the internet, it's just Dave G, you know, and I didn't know who the Dave G was, but he said, tell you hello.
One thing, Bill, you'll notice about these radio stations, a lot of people, I'm not saying him, but a lot of people will move around from station to station.
And, yeah, he said he worked with, didn't he say he worked with you for once, Bill, or something? Was connected, yeah, I thought he did, right, I thought he said that, right. Yeah, I was telling about this, when I was a kid, this dog, they were talking about dogs, and I was telling about the dog I had that wasn't a seeing eye dog, but we got it from a family in Fort Wayne, and my dad took it out and put it on the farm because it got too big for the city. And so we said, we'll just leave it lay out there. If it works, it works. It doesn't. Well, the dog took a liking to me, and he wouldn't let me do anything unless he checked everything out first.
Well, you know, Bill, I got to tell you something. I get a lot of blind people who say how bad they have it. And this, I mean, in Albany, I'm talking about. But, you know, you've been around a lot longer than me. I mean, I know you're almost 80 years old because you've told us on the air.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think that blind people today, in many respects, things are so different with technology. I'm not saying it's better always. But things are a little easier, I think, for us now than they were when you were growing up. So I got to admire you because you certainly did it all on your own. And so that's all I wanted to say. So now that the Admiration Society is over, I can treat you like dirt like I do everyone else. I'm just kidding you, Bill.
Right, that's okay, Joe. No, I admit that, you know, some things are easier. I think a lot of things are easier, especially. Well, kids going to school and stuff, I think a lot of it's a lot easier. I mean, you got so much electronic stuff. Now, when I was growing up, you didn't have that stuff. You couldn't see with a magnifying glass. You were just, more or less, you're just screwed. Unless you had a reader or something like that. You had somebody could read the stuff to you. Because that's the reason I finally wound up at ISB, was because in 1950, I went into the fifth grade because I had to repeat the fourth grade over because I missed 3 months in the early part of 49. But so I went to the fifth grade and with a public school. Well, I went in and, of course, to read the blackboard, I had to walk up to see the board and walk back to the seat. Well, that disturbed the teacher in the class. So I was kicked out of school.
See, so would not happen today.
No, because then there was no mandatory education. You know, they didn't have to take it if they didn't want to.
True.
You know, back then, if you couldn't find a school to attend or somehow to get into it and somebody really wanted to work with you, but you almost had somebody go along with you to school.
This is
because they'd have to read the board, so it was no mandatory education.
One thing I'm going to talk about. Stuff, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Bill.
But a lot of that stuff is good. And then, of course, then, you know, later on they come out with CCTVs and all that kind of stuff, you know, which I had a CCTV for a while.
Yep.
In fact, I had the first CCTV they ever come out by Apollo. It was the first one ever put out.
I remember that.
Right.
Bill, it's almost time for Tim to go.
Yeah.
I was going to turn it over to Bill. We had this was a really good show today.
Yep. Mike and I are going to be real busy this weekend helping stream providing audio and recordings for the Indiana, Ohio ACB convention. So we'll see how all that goes.
Oh, you're going to do it?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I know you weren't sure. The other day you weren't sure, that's why. Okay.
Well, we're going to do it ourselves from our own server, and because we just don't know about our bandwidth that we've got at this hotel.
Yeah, you just don't know. That's the variable, is having reliable internet in a hotel.
Is it going to be on ACB, or are you going to do it later on something else?
No, you can go to, we were doing it, since we already had the servers and everything, we didn't see the justified, they charge for that, and we already have the servers. So, but you go to acb-indiana.org, and there will be a link right there on the front page to begin listening.
And what time does this all start, Mike? Can you give us an
idea? We'll do Friday evening, I think, from 7:20 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and then Saturday, I don't know if it'll be constant, but basically, I think between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. And it'll be 24/7. But
that's all Eastern time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That sounds good. I'm going to say 7-3s for those who will know the ham radio jargon, I should say. And we'll catch you all tomorrow night on All Things Radio Extra after All Things Radio podcast airs.
Well, have a good one, everybody. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy.